The text for tonight is from 1 Timothy 6, the verses 6, 7, and 8. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For he brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So far. Theme tonight, be content. Three thoughts. Discontentment, that emptiness, the being down, that craving, that hunger. Nothing fills me up. I need more. Discontentment. Secondly, false contentment. Filling it up, stuffing yourself spiritually with many things. Having a false experience of so-called contentment is false contentment. And in the third place, real contentment. The text says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So being content, or be content. Discontentment, false contentment, and real contentment. What is an autarky? Autarky. It's an English word. We find it in the dictionary. It is a society that does not need to import anything. Because they have everything themselves. A self-sufficient, autarkic, self-sufficient society. They have enough of everything. They don't need any imports. They only export. That's the word. For contentment. Autarkia. Having enough. Self-sufficient. Content. I'm happy. I have everything. Everything I have. Contentment. That's great gain. That's how we are made in paradise. Content people, self-sufficient, we have everything our heart desired. Nothing lacking, overflowing the goods of the Lord. Filled with God. Paradise was perfect in that sense. What happened? Something terrible happened. We drove the Lord out of our hearts. There's now a big hole within. God is absent by nature from the hearts of people. And there's a hole, a craving, a hunger. Because you were designed to serve and see the Lord. He's absent now. And the consequence is a deep hunger in the hearts of everyone. Something is missing. Something does not make me happy. There's something going on in my life. A void and something that does not fill me up, and I'm not happy with it. Evil came, and of course, you're made in God's image, in holiness, in righteousness, in knowledge. We lost that image of God in the broader sense, but also as you're designed to see the Lord. Something is broken. Something is missing. Something is not right. And the whole world is filled with empty people. You know what hunger is? Hunger? It sometimes hurts. You have to eat. I have to eat something. To drink something, otherwise it hurts. And so people have that emptiness. They need to drink, they need to eat, they need to go on with life. It has something that fills them up, otherwise it hurts. I think it's a vacuum to be filled up, otherwise it does not feel right. King Solomon called it vanity. You hear it? How he felt, King Solomon? He felt that hole in his heart. Discontentment. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. Beautiful. Love to see that. I made me pools of water to water with the wood to bring forth the trees. Irrigation system with pools and ponds. I got me servants and maidens and served in my house. I had also great possessions, great small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me choir singing for me. I got me men singers and women singers, musical instruments that of all sorts. Goes on and on. You look at it, at Ecclesiastes 2. Long list of all things he tried out and tried to have pleasure in. And he comes to the conclusion, 2 verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. How unthankful, Solomon. You should be more upbeat. And they thank the Lord for all the blessings. You're so down. You downplay all God's blessings. No, he did not. He was a realist. And experienced the emptiness of everything that's not God, not Christ, and not grace. I hope you feel that way as well tonight. Empty. You say, I need more. I have everything, but this will make me happy. I need something else that fills up the vanity, the void in my heart. Huge, empty room within. Without God, you have a common hunger. We need God, and yet we don't like him. We have become enemies of God, locked the door, and yet need him. You're double-hearted. This is a predicament. We hate God and want God. So we substitute God for something else, still empty within. So that's why many are unhappy and come to church on prayer day and say, Lord, I want more. More idols. Filled with hole. I asked Lord for more materialistic things, for more idols to worship, for more idols and bigger idols, for money and power and business and blessings to fill with hole. Are we? Or do we realize that nothing can make us happy but the Lord? Discontentment. And you know better. Apostle Paul writes about it in Romans. Interesting. Because that when they knew God, the Gentiles, they knew God, they glorified not as God, and neither thankful but became vain imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So you know better. They suppress it. We push God away out of our life. We don't want him. We know better. They knew God. They glorified him not. And see our image in the Bible. Don't they look into the mirror? Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is subject to the law of God. It can be so enmity against God. A hole, you're not happy. Close the door to the Lord and continue with life. with a hunger and a thirst. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Is your life the vanity of your mind, the emptiness, the void? The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. This is the same as that hunger of Psalm 42. Like a hart, a deer panteth for the water brooks, so pant my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirst for God, for the living God. Is the same? No. This is a common thirst, and there is a saving thirst. A common thirst is an emptiness, a void. I want to be happy, nothing fills me up, and I'm in predicament, always seek for more. Then the Holy Spirit comes, it gives a different hunger. I know who I am missing. My soul thirsts for the living God. It reveals itself in the scriptures. I know who I'm missing. I know something of that God, and he needs to be my God. I need to be reconciled with that God. So that's the difference. By nature, we have an emptiness, and we don't know who we are missing. A crave for something, we don't know who he is. We are not knowing the Lord. Something else. Everyone has an emptiness in his heart. God's people also, but they have a guilt, a spirit of guilt as well. This is their fault, their sins separate them from the Lord. I remember years ago, someone applying for the mission field, and he did his story. I was asked to send him in the hallway afterwards, and we discussed it together. One of the members said, he spoke about his emptiness, being dust and ash and small and needful and dependent. I have not heard anything about his sins and his guilt. That's right. So you may also have a feeling of hunger for something that fills you up, that you're truly happy. You admit something is missing, a missing person. So many feel like that, but they don't feel guilty. And they don't need who they're missing. A discontent, yes, but is a discontentment also a selfish one without knowing God? So conversion entails hunger, but it's hunger for someone, for God himself, for salvation, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and also not qualifying at all, and being unworthy, the least of God's blessings. Discontent. So the same thought, false contentment. Most people don't settle for that. You have a drive to do something meaningful, to do something that gives them hope, to live somehow, to have happiness. I want to be happy. I'm going to fill up that hole myself, one way or another. I can't stand sitting down and experience my emptiness. I must do something, and that is why our people are religious. Not in the strictest sense, but all people need a passion for something. To have life meaningful, to have a comfort, to live for something, for money, or status, romance, or jobs, or leisure, or their children, or their wives, their husbands, or their businesses. They need something that is a purpose for them to live for. And they go for that. In an easy way, in a hard-working way, but they need to do something, otherwise they're not happy and they're grumpy. They must fill up their hearts. That is idolatry. That is false contentment. It's a hunger for joy, not hunger for the Lord. And congregation, it does not give peace. That idol doesn't give peace. It doesn't fill up the hole of the heart at all. It doesn't help. There's a thorn in the flesh. You cannot die with it. It leaves you alone when you need it. And therefore a false contentment. What's yours? What's your idol? Give an example. What an idol is. Rachel. Remember Rachel? In the Bible? Leah, Rachel. Rachel did not have children. And she says something about it. Genesis 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. I must have a child, otherwise I die. It's my identity. I've no purpose in life. It is all in vain. I must have a child or I die. It is something you can't miss. You must have. You must experience, otherwise you die. Otherwise life has no meaning anymore. That's your idol. I can try to help you find him, your idol. Four ways of finding him. Four questions. First, about your imagination. You're relaxed. You sit back in your chair on the couch. Nobody's home. Your thoughts wander. Where do they go? All the time. The whole time go to what? You answer me the question. You just do nothing. You just relax. Your mind wanders always to the same thing, right? Often the same thing. That's your idol. What is it? Oh, that we may see it, how foolish we are by filling up the hole that way. Or secondly, spending money. I'm not talking about the rent and hydro and food and drink. Where does the rest of the money go? Where do you overspend? What is so important to you, relatively? Is it the church? Is it mission fields? If you have the more you love, you have the mission. Where you give the mission work. So I can see it in the way you spend your money. You can see it, I can't. You can see it in the way you spend your money. What is so important to you, right? That your treasure is your heart. Or three, what keeps you going? What's your comfort? You always sometimes feel lousy and tired and not interested and sometimes down. And what keeps you going? Your child, your wife, your work, intimacy, what is it? Something that peps you up all the time, gives you a practical comfort and daily salvation, daily help to get through it with your mind. It's difficult, but I have something to hang on to. What is it? That's your idol. Or think of your most, the strongest emotions. You can be so angry about something. Something, sometimes so happy about something. That is an indication. Why are you so angry? I'm so upset about that. Because it's something that hits you hard, that's meaningful to you, that is something that you can miss, that you want to have, and you go for that, and people take it away, it makes you angry. It makes you super happy. Your idol, it fills up the hole. And it is false, even cursed contentment. It does not make you happy in the end. Give you examples about that love for those idols. I read of a couple, one teenage son. And mom loved that boy so much. It was her son, her only son. He was her purpose. He was her everything. She lived for him. And dad was different. He was hardly home. And the child took it hard. Missed the warmth of his father. Got off the rails. Got drinking and was in trouble with the law. And his mom hated that and became so angry with dad. His fault. She could not forgive him. She could not forgive him. Why not? Because he ruined her life, everything, her son. There's nothing left. It's his fault. Therefore, they did not communicate anymore and divorced. And consequently, the boy was even worse off and took it even harder. His parents divorced. And see another example? Same example, almost. Couple. One son. Dad hardly home. Mom loving the child. And understanding that her father, her husband, did not give enough attention to her son, but she was able to forgive him for that. Because her son was not her idol. Not her idol, that's why she could forgive him. And they could talk about those things. It came better. And help the child. Help the child. His mom loved him not so strangely as the first example. So sometimes too much love and idolizing can make things worse. Or think of that young woman was dating. And she felt sometimes, is this the right person to marry? She pressed it. She pushed it away. She had no life. Think about breaking up. She could break up. This is her husband, her idol. And he started abusing her. And she took it. She could not handle it to lose him. So she loved him so much that she took things of abuse. So you can love too much as well. Behold, thus make my days as a handbreadth, mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Vanity. And then filling up that hole with fake religion. Let your conversation without covetousness be content with such things you have. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So love can destroy. Having food and raiment, let us there be with content. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, pierced them through with many sorrows. That's true for money. That's true for all idols. They pierce you through and they lead to destruction and perdition. Look at verse 9. But they will be rich, they will be rich, fall into temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I warn you. And you fill the hole with idols, they don't help you, they destroy you, they lead you to destruction and perdition. Though the constant of sinning will be below it, also they lead to hell. So misfortune, no, not only misfortune, perdition, destruction, the warning. So there we must seek a treasure in heaven. Not pray for our idols to be bigger and bigger, but to seek salvation, Lord Jesus Christ, to have that filled up the proper way. Do you see it? What's your idol? What are your idols? Have you answered the question? What makes you so happy? What makes you so angry? What makes you so confident? What is your daily salvation? What is on your mind all the time? Is it him? Is it her? Is it this? Is it that? And the Lord looks upon it. And he sees that people still make the wrong choices. And we need paradise, and we continue with that. Seeking happiness in the world, always seeking happiness in the Lord. St. Augustine said, sin is disordered love. To love things is good in a disorderly way. Wrong. To love your business more than your children is the wrong order. Your children should be first in your business. And also, loving this life over the Lord Himself is disorderly, a sin. Sin is preferring things over God. So, idolatry is the first commandment, right? The first commandment is called the 10th commandment, covetousness. I shall not covet. It is a sin that is the basis for all other sins, and that's all because of unhappiness. But being discontent and seeking salvation, daily salvation in other things. What a blessing will be tonight. If you be arrested, you would come to the conclusion, this is my idol, and I've been worshiping this idol all the time. It's my work, it's my idol, my identity, my love. I would die if I would miss that. Like Rachel, she said, I would die if I have no children. So I've heard of athletes. I use an example. They overdo things. And they train and they train days and days and nights and hours and in a row to be good athletes for years. And they win a few medallions. And then they get injured. And they can't play anymore. And they are devastated. And don't only need to see the doctor, but also the psychologist. It's an identity problem, right? They are not themselves anymore. They're at a loss. It has been their idol. And so in your life, what is it? You say that would destroy me if I had to retire, if I could not do this anymore. Your idol? So let us pray tonight for verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. May that be our practice tonight, Lord. I'm asking on prayer day, just have clothing, something to eat. That's all I need. I'm not asking for more. Raiment and food, the minimum. Give us this day our daily bread. If you ask more, what are you asking more? What are you asking that? And he asks for more wages, a higher position, more children, better health, better this, more that. It's all about you. It's all about to continue your life with happiness. Without the God, I fear, we must ask the Lord for his favor. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's missing by nature. And that the Lord works by his grace in the hearts of his people. Our third thought. When the Holy Spirit comes and opens our eyes, we see our foolishness. And we realize that we have been busy with filling up the hole all those years, preferring things over God. And we feel ashamed and repent in dust and ashes. And we begin to seek the Lord like a heart panned for the water brooks. So pant my soul at thee, O God. Have you repented? Have you seen it? What a pain, or the grief of the Lord. He made us in his image, and that people push him out and fill up the hole with other things. The grief, it's idolatry, the spiritual adultery, preferring things over God. And then we see it, we read in Proverbs 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Rather having little, the fear of the Lord, God's favor, God's goodness, God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, than having much and having trouble therewith. You read in Hebrews 13, an encouragement. Let your conversation, let your walk, your life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? I'll read the next piece. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's life. The Lord speaks to his church. You have me. You have enough. Your salvation, Lord Jesus Christ, that suffices. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Read verse 11. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteous godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Speaking to Timothy. And Timothy was the child of the Lord, right? Was a servant of the Lord. And said, Timothy, you still have that weakness. Follow after righteousness, after these things, love, patience, meekness. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Seek eternal life. Seek the best of the best. Seek salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Apostle Paul. He had a thorn in his flesh. Something bothering him, painful, grieving every day. Ask the Lord three times, Lord, take that thorn out of my life, out of my flesh. It hurts so much. And the Lord said, no, I keep it there. My grace is sufficient for thee. It should be enough. Be content. Be content that you have. Bear the yoke in your youth. The Lord knows what he's doing. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. The power of Christ may rest upon me. And so the Lord also gets cross in his life of his people. So they seek after spiritual things. So fighting the good fight against sin is not only obeying, saying, I cannot do this, I cannot spend much time there. It's not only a matter of obedience, it's a matter of heart. For some of this obedience, that's enough. Blood is illness in the heart. What's our desire? Our affection. True love that he offers. Interest in true love. Absolute, true, and genuine, sweet love. It's in the Lord. In his service. God is love. Seek that. That gives contentment. It gives great gain. Seek true hope. The hope of this world. The hope in him. Seek true joy, the joy of this life, even in children and grandchildren, is joyful. Seek the joy unspeakable the Lord gives his people, he below, and later on in eternity. Seek the true meaning of life. Seek fulfillment. I read in Matthew 16, for this man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. So man give in exchange for his soul. Same as in 1 Timothy 6, right? Verse 7. For he brought nothing into this world, and is certain he can carry nothing out. The babies are born. They come with nothing. People leave this life and are buried. They are buried with nothing. So he must seek something that he may hold on to. Something that may keep forever. It's God's grace. That might be sufficient for us. I think of Philippians 1. Apostle Paul writes about himself. For to me, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If Christ is your life, you meditate on him all the day. You sit in your chair. Your thoughts wander. They time and again come back to the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Let me ask you a question. You happy? Do you say? Say, yes, I'm happy. What with? What's your happiness? How can you be happy without God's favor and God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, I'm happy because there is something that lives me up all the time. God's grace is at the throne of my flesh. In January, we were at the airport in New Jersey, mission meeting. We rented a car with a few people. We drove all the way from the parking lot. There was a black lady in the booth. So happy, big smile, laughing. And I said, "Are you so happy?" And said, "Jesus, my Lord," she said. I hope it's true. What about you? That's how it should be, right? In truth, not this flippant and fake. How it should be to be happy people, rejoice, not always seeking salvation time and again. In him, in his wounds, being covered with his righteousness. He being my bread, my obedience, my life, my future, my God. So for a fish, water is the place to go, right? He loves to go back into the water. A bird likes to fly without being in a cage. And God's children as well, they say, my life is my work. No. My life is my wife. No. My life, my children. Neither. My life is my garden, my house. No. My life is leisure and games and being an athlete. No. My life is Christ. That's the great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And the Lord sees that. And the Lord is honored by that, right? A woman is honored if her husband loves her, thanks her all the time, in a healthy way, not overdoing it, not idolizing her, just normal. And so the Lord is so honored if his people loves him first. He deserves that. So also consider Philippians 3 verse 7. What things are gain to me? He speaks of him being a Pharisee. Those things were gain. He felt good about those things in his life, his status as Pharisee, as teacher, as minister, in his work, holiness. He felt good about that. Well, things were gain to me, those count I lost for Christ. Compared to Christ, those loss meant nothing. And so God's children experience time and again that Christ the life and nothing else compares to that. Think of Abraham. Abraham was told that in his seed all the family of the earth will be blessed. He had no child. He gave him a child, right? Isaac. He had to sacrifice Isaac. And say, Lord, I cannot do that. I can't sacrifice him. He's my everything. He did it. He brought him to the Mount Moriah. He was on the altar. The Lord saw it. He loved him so much he would do anything for the Lord. That's godliness with contentment. Having food and raiment to be therewith content. Within a few weeks, we hope to deal with the petition, give us this day our daily bread. We just ask you already, is it sufficient to you? Daily bread today? That's in the background, right? Having food and rainbows, there will be content. Tonight is a good night to repent. But we need to say, Lord, this and that, clothing, raiment, food and drink, and my body and health and appearance, and you name it. You may make a list of what is probably too important for you. Maybe for the Lord, say, Lord, I should cry about this. Have no tears. Be honest with the Lord and yourself. Say, Lord, such a fool I am. Christ does not mean anything to me, or does it? So God is best. We leave him for last. And people of the Lord, something changed, right? You see this hungry heart for the Lord and his service. And sometimes the Holy Spirit witnesses that your spirit, your child, the Lord, and you're the richest person in the world, you're satisfied. And then the delightful things of the world come back. You fall back into your old lifestyle a little bit. Start serving the world again. That's why. But thou, O man and woman of God, flee these things. Turn your back to those things and seek something else, not money. Don't seek money. Don't seek all those idols, but seek things for the Lord's service. Seek righteousness. Seek godliness. Seek faith. Seek faith. Seek love, patience, meekness at home, at business. The families seek those things of holiness instead. What will there be this Sunday at the table? In my thoughts, you'd be sitting at the table this Sunday, having been idolaters for many years, having been covetous many years, having worldly many years, and still the worldly heart, the Lord says, this do in remembrance of me. He made me the example in being the Savior to save them to the uttermost. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Verse 12. Fight the good fight. It's a fight they talk about tonight. It doesn't come easy for his people. They have to hold on to eternal life and fight a good fight. It is a good fight. Not only the right fight, it's good to fight. It's pleasant, a pleasant fight. It's a beneficial fight. Whereunto thou art also called. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and for Christ Jesus, for upon this Pilate witnessed, good witness, good confession. So, think of the first thought. Discontent, that big room, that vacuum, that whole heart, that hunger, everyone has, something is missing. They don't miss the Lord. They don't feel guilty. I think the second thought, false content, filling it all up with salt water. You drink salt water, young people. You have heard the stories, right, of the Indianapolis that sunk in the World War, and they survived drinking salt water, and they started bloating and drank more and more and died. They were so thirsty, they started drinking more seawater. You cannot do that. There's also this world. The more you drink this world, the more you, the closer you are to death. Seek those other things. And the last thought, right? The true, the real contentment. I may say, seek it, young friends. Seek it. You can't lose with that, and it's true. Content with great gain, the Lord gives to these people. Here and here below, and after death, everlastingly. The Lord will be all in all, and they'll be the happiest people, self-sufficient, nothing else, nothing need anymore, and eternal bliss. Seek the Lord and live. Amen. O Lord Almighty, the fools we are by nature, looking away from the Lord, trying to be happy without Him. O Lord, we ask, give true repentance for that, for our idolatry and spiritual adultery of grieving the Lord to the heart. And yet His salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, cause us to seek Him, to find Him, that He may become our life, and then death will be gain. Lord, draw thy people closer to thyself to be examples to others, that they may see it. They are a blessed people, have a hope, have meaningful lives. They have found something that is something they may keep, make jealous, and bless their world tonight as well. Bring safe back home tonight. In Jesus' name alone, amen.